Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with my good friend and excellent journalist, Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack. It's been a while.
Good morning, Maria. Always great to be on the Blood and Guts show and the Maria channel. Thank you for calling me a journalist. That must be why we're suffering so much. That doesn't work so well these days.
No, it doesn't, especially if you want to tell the truth and you got a lot of crazy people out there. Whether they're human, whether they're bots, whether they're whatever, trying to totally discount the entire truth movement since this Parkland shooting. So it's interesting days, as usual.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because the truth movement is in his back pocket. So it's be nice if he threw him a bone every once in a while, no?
Right. Well, you remember when we did our prediction show this year? How are you figuring this year is flowing according to what we figured?
Pretty much right on schedule, though. You know, the Democrat Party just amazes me. It looks like they could be trying to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
I don't know. They don't look like they're doing anything to me.
It looked pretty clear that they were going to win back the Senate and maybe the House, and they'd be really well in the midterms just based on what we've seen over the last few months in the special elections. But they're trying to mess that all up again, so who knows?
Right. Well, you know, we hear calls. I only see it online. Calls for paper ballots, calls for going back to the old-fashioned way of voting. But you know nothing's going to change. There's no investigation on whether or not, you know, Russia interfered, even though there's a lot of proof out there of bots and whatnot. God knows I have them crawling all over my site like every day. But nothing's changed, nothing's been done, and nothing's changed or been done since the stolen election of 2000.
Yeah, it's interesting that Russia fixed the election, and that's all that Democrats care about for sure.
Well,
but what we know is that both parties fixed the election.
Exactly.
And no talk about that. So the Democrats fixed the primary. They got caught, which is generally what people believe cost them a pretty clear victory in the 2016 election for Clinton. And I don't care. Whoever got the emails, it doesn't matter. It's what's in those emails, right?
Right.
And what's in the emails is they cheated Bernie.
Exactly. That was
their
big.
About it.
That was their big mistake. So to me, they got what they deserved. You know, I did see. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I watched a video last night. I guess it was on YouTube, of Bernie Sanders' son running for office. I think in New Hampshire, and actually, I think it was on one of the late night shows. I was watching a clip. I don't remember which one of the hosts it was, because I watched three of them. I watched Seth Meyers, and I watched Trevor Noah, and sometimes Colbert. But when they showed his son, oh my God, even, I think it was Colbert, he says, there's no doubt this guy is Bernie's son. First of all, he looks just like him, but he sounds just like him. It's really freaky.
Well, I hope there'll be some improvements there. I have a few bones to pick with Bernie, but that's the issue. So again, whether it's this school shooting or whatever it is, they always make sure to have us in the wrong debate. So,
right.
You know, I think it's, to me, it's very clear that Russia, you know, definitely used propaganda to, you know, go after potential Trump voters and to sour people on Hillary Clinton. You know, I didn't have a dog in that hunt, so to speak,
right,
in that fight. But But we're not talking about electronic voting machines. We're not talking about how, you know, the great work that Greg Palast and others did on how Democrats or Republicans steal elections by, you know, closing down and slowing up polls at certain voting locations or taking people off the voting rolls who are generally minorities or African Americans. And they've been doing that for several elections and not a peep about it by the Democrats, who you would think would be outraged and incensed that the election was stolen from them. But apparently they don't want to go there for some reason. So we're not having the real debate as usual. And I know that's what I'm here to do, is to try to get people talking about the right things.
Exactly. Well, let alone the Electoral College, let alone Citizens United. One thing that I'm finding actually exhilarating, if that's the right word, when I look at these kids throughout the country now that are protesting because of the shooting, they're talking about they don't want either party and they want to start their own party. I think, you know, to me, that's a good start, that they can see through the bullshit. I just hope they have enough information to cover all the other topics out there.
You know, I said something very similar on another show I was on last week, and I'm not sure if it landed or not, but there is a sea change with this new generation, and it's the whole children of the new earth, indigo children thing. It is the evolution of children in order to protect themselves, to tear down these current institutions, which, as we know, are corrupt as the day is long. It's just a matter of, you know, they're going to have to listen to the older people at some point, otherwise they can't heed the warning that absorption will come. They get absorbed, and I don't think that the powers that be care too much if it's called Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, what it's called, as long as it has the same functions. And it's pretty easy, as we saw with the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Tea Party movement, it's pretty easy to kind of get in and throw a monkey wrench in the works or completely take it over with a very small amount of money and support and promises. And you know, otherwise we're just repeating the same cycle over and over again.
Well, let me ask you this, Jack. When you said that on the show about these indigo kids, how is it received?
Never heard of it. I gave them a little spiel on what it is and why they had been targeted specifically in the last decade. And then I think I got things that make you say, you know, it sounds a little crazy, but it's really the truth. You know, when there is an evolutionary process. So unless you don't believe in that, then you have to pay attention to this argument. And the argument is that these children grew up in mass media. They grew up in 24-hour news cycles. They grew up with computers and cell phones. And by the way, all the bad things that the trinary connection of the food, the toxins and the radiation and the microwaves and the low frequency hum and everything, chemtrails, everything that we deal with that I believe affects our minds and our bodies. So they have evolved in order to withstand all of this. And as you know, one of the things they don't like is systems, you know, so they've found ways around it. And we're seeing that today in all the new technology, new applications, and what kids are interested in. I also added that I felt it was the largest generation gap since the invention of fire. So, I mean, if you're trying to relate to, you know, teenagers or you know, children in high school or even just a little older, it's pretty difficult because they just have no faith in anything you have to say. I think we still carry some wisdom. I think we still have some value. But that generation gap is so massive that communication becomes rather difficult.
Well, you know, you also have, you know, they talk about these kids. They've all been born after Columbine. So they've known nothing but school shootings their whole life. It's not like people like my age. When I talk to people my age, I said, do you ever remember once a story like this in any school in any state in the country? You know, and you got to look at what changed. So, you know, listening to you, I'm sure that gave you the razz when you started talking about it. But I have to tell you, Jack, And believe me, I've gotten the razz too, because I'm kind of staying out of the fray on this particular shooting, because something about it is different. And I knew it from the beginning. Something's different here. Not to say that there's not elements of a false flag here, but something's different. And I'm just sitting back watching. And when I saw these kids, I have to tell you, I was elated. I said, I've been waiting my entire life for this generation, and they're finally here, and they're finally vocal. They're finally smart enough to handle life on their own. Because all these years of teaching spirituality, I said, these kids are going to change everything. We just have to hold the planet in place for them to grow up. And here they are. And, you know, they are the biggest generation since the baby boomers. I mean, the difference is, and I'm sure it's the same for you because you're an artist. I follow your music career online, and I know you're a dad. I spend a lot of time with teenagers, and so do you. And I also remember what it was like to be a teenager because I was one of those kids. And I was the only one of those kids back in my day, Jack. And looking at them now, it almost feels like I might actually see the result of all my work. So I'm thrilled because these kids came in with no veil between them and spirit, Jack. They came in here fully knowing who and what they are and every problem on this planet. And all I was waiting for was for them to be of age and actually move together as a force. And I was, I also had a story this week that the kids in Russia are also organizing because they don't want the future their parents have.
Yeah. In a way, my generation, call us the sonic boomers, okay? I'm a little younger, so I'm not quite a baby boomer, but I'm not quite Generation X, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the Gen X and the sonic boomers rebelling against the nuclear family accepted by the baby boomers, you know, you could see a huge difference. Even the baby boomers and what they did in the 60s, kind of rebelling against systems that their parents had constructed post-Depression, right? So there's these huge jumps, but it skips generations. And this millennial generation who is, you know, more interested in the car they're driving and the technology that they use than they are, you know, actually affecting change. I didn't think that helped us. I thought we lost a lot of ground on that, but I have a lot of faith in the new generation. And I want to say this, you know, we should talk about that school shooting because there is a lot there to talk about. And I'll say, first off, I think that, you know, this may not go down smoothly, but I think that these kids are being used in some way and you have to be very careful of that. So I can tell you that there was a new study that came out by Northeastern University, and it's rather compelling, showing that shooting incidents involving students have been declining since the 90s. You wouldn't know that by watching the news. You would think that
right.
You know, it gets worse every year, but it's actually down much further and not much higher than it was 10 years. So for 10 years, it's been at a very similar level, but from the 90s, it's dropped down. You know, there's the historical cases of where lunatics went in and bombed schools with children in them, even, you know, 40 years ago. So, I mean, we have a history of this, and what we have to be careful of is over-reporting because there's more reporting. In other words, there's just a lot of stuff we didn't hear about 10, 20, even 30 years ago that now we hear about all day, every day.
Right.
We see it on our social media, completely takes over the narrative and any logical common sense debate that can be had on any subject. But when it's violence and it's children, it certainly is ripe for exploitation. Remember what Rahm Emanuel said. He's of course, son of an Aragon terrorist and a mayor of Chicago and former chief of staff for the Obama administration. That, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Mm.
And that's what I meant earlier by I think the Democrats are snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I don't think the gun debate for them is going to be a good one because there's a huge chunk. If you look at the electoral map in middle America, we have a lot of red and purple states. And these people will be forced again to go with what they feel is the lesser of evils in Donald Trump, even though, as I predicted, it's Donald Trump making new anti-gun laws. All right, he's the one. Not Obama didn't do it. Right. Trump has done more already to quote-unquote grab people's guns than Obama did in 8 years, and he did it in 1 year. But that perception and that illusion, I think, will cost the party if they're going to be the party of no instead of the party of yes. And that would be my advice to anybody trying to run and unseat these criminals we currently have. Is you need to have something positive, right? You need to have something. Tell me what you're going to do to change the path of mass inflation, of all of the issues we have going on right now. And I'm going to listen to that. And I think other people want to hear that too. What they don't want to hear is, you know, finger pointing and name calling and just, you know, being against things.
Right.
So,
well, you remember.
There's a lot, but there's a lot in the shooting that we should talk about because it's really not going down too easy for me.
Right. Well, absolutely. But, you know, you talk about, what was it, like the whole time Obama campaigned plus the 8 years he was in office, all we ever heard is Obama's coming for your guns. And here you got Trump, who is coming for your guns, in 1 year, and nobody's talking about it.
You know, and I want to make a quick point on that, because who benefits? And fear is the beneficiary. And both sides, if there are actually two sides, let's pretend there are,
right,
for the sake of argument.
Right.
Both sides use that fear. So the Democrats are using that fear porn as a way to raise money, and do they need it, man? After they booted their best fundraiser, Al Franken, out of their party, and the Democrats did that, make no mistake, they forced Al Franken out,
which
I felt were really ticky-tack and just not very funny jokes that he was doing. They lost a huge amount of fundraising, so I'm on their chain mail recipient letters.
Me too.
I get those. And they're using this as fear. And what do people do now? They buy more guns. And the Republicans do the same thing. If you put a Democrat in, they're going to take your guns. They're going to come bang your, which isn't true. They're going to come bang your door down and start taking all the guns. There'll be no guns in America by next year, right? And the people believe that stuff when it's the NRA and Trump are the ones that are legislating guns away. So who benefits? And the gun manufacturers, who have sold more guns and more bullets in the last 10 years than probably anywhere. And it works the same way with war. They scare us that the Muslims are going to come kill us for our freedoms or whatever it is, when that's not why we're in Syria or Yemen or anywhere else. And that fear is what sells weapons, okay? The beauty of our weapons, as the REM song goes. So weapon manufacturers of all kinds on every level are prime beneficiaries. But just remember, they use this as fear.
Right.
Same way like the Jesse Jackson would or Al Sharpton would use racism as fear in order to fundraise.
Right.
And it's really sometimes as simple as that.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I don't know if you saw my Facebook page today, but it just so happens that I posted a quote by Marianne Williamson. And this is what it says: love is what we're born with. Fear is what we've learned here. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. And here you are talking about fear. You and I are always in sync, Jack.
Well, you know, I knew Marianne back in the day, well, especially when we were down there in Phoenix, and I've always thought pretty highly of her. But there's a healthy fear. You definitely want to have a kind of a healthy fear to protect yourself, but that is being exploited. And these are the people that understand the mind scientists and behavioral manipulation in ways that maybe some of us will never understand. So
Right. They're
very good at triggering that and then manipulating it. And that's where we get into the various dialectics. It's just immigration, for instance.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, something has to be done, or these people are going to come rape you and kill you and take your jobs, right? When what is the truth of that? And it is that we have emboldened corruption in third world countries, even Mexico, to such a degree that people are forced to come here. And are they And I think the bigger point in the immigration dialectic, and I'll repeat this if I'm repeating myself, it's because I need people to understand this, that how can I prove I'm an American? I need an enhanced biometric ID, Maria. I might need a microchip. I got to be in the E-Verify database to get a job or even sometimes rent an apartment. And that's where all of this is going, is, you know, trying to rank us. Because if you're an immigrant and you've got money, they don't care that you're here. It's more of a class war and a phony dialectic to construct a bigger police state than it is anything else. And I can't believe people don't see it.
I can't believe it either. It's kind of like chemtrails. I don't know how people miss them, but they seem to do that. And, you know, yesterday or the day before, Venezuelans warning us to get the hell out of their country and stop interfering in their election. This morning I got a story that El Salvador actually told Rexxon Tillerson not to interfere in their elections. So this is something we've done forever, and now everybody's in shock that someone may have tried to do the same thing to us, because after all, we are the good guys on the planet.
Very important point there, for sure.
You know, and I think people need to, but look, you know, ignorance seems to rule. And I mean, for the past 2 weeks, when I, you know, watch TV at the gym, the only story for 2 weeks has been this Parkland shooting. And that's why I post, there's a whole lot more going on in the news that you're not hearing that I'm covering on my show. So in a way, this story became an attraction and a distraction.
Exactly. No, and when you look at what might be going on, there's just so many things, and I try so hard to get to these things, but it's impossible because all anyone wants to hear about, they'll turn the channel if you're not talking about what they want to hear about, if you're not pushing those buttons. So it's very difficult to keep people interested as you're talking about what they might be distracted from. But you're right. I mean, it just works on all levels. I've always, you know, pointed out cost-benefit analysis before anything goes down. You figure out all the different ways, all the different levels that you, your organization, your cabal can benefit from it. And that's why it seems so scripted at times, because it's all the dominoes are set in place before anything happens. And, you know, man, if it bleeds, it leads, right? You have a bunch of dead children. There's nothing the news likes more than that. And I know some villain said that and got rebuked for it, but we know that. That's the news. If there's a fire, if there's a car accident, someone dies, you know, whatever it is, someone gets shot in the head downtown, man, that's what the first thing that's on the news, not what's wrong with the local economy or, you know, how racism exists in our school system, in our tax funding system, or any of the things that would actually make a difference in our lives. And every day it's just one murder to the next.
Exactly.
And if it bleeds, it leads, man.
Well, one ridiculous tweet after the other that takes up the entire TV news broadcasters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, is this all... You know, is this all they can find to talk about? How about Ben Carson buying a dinette set for his HUD office for $31,000 while he's cutting HUD programs? You know, nobody's paying attention to, you know, Jared Kushner lost his security clearance and that there are four countries that could blackmail him very easily. Yet he's still in office before other guys who didn't pass their background check were let go. You know, and you tell people Kushner is a puppet of Netanyahu, they don't want to hear it. You know, I mean, we got spies in the Oval Office, all of them. And, you know, we can't leave Israel off the hook because Israel's pulling Trump's chain bigger than Putin ever could.
Yeah, well, and you nailed it there, because the Zionists are extremely influential in this administration. And believe it or not, Clinton might have been a little more of opposition to them. So they had something to gain by Trump winning, who had promised them his fealty. You know, he I'll tell you this, and this is one of the things we learned about that crazy book, Fire and Fury, which I believe a lot of that, and it is backed up on tape, and not all of it, some of it is innuendo and a little bit of his creative writing. And I'll tell you about that book real quick. When I saw the Democrats attacking that author and throwing that book under the bus and flushing it down the toilet, the Democrats, who supposedly would benefit from this book more than anything else, when I saw them discrediting the book, I knew there was probably something to it. And they didn't like how this guy broke through the castle walls and began reporting on what he saw. But one of the things he says in the book through a source is that Trump is in love with, he just has such mad respect and admiration for Putin, for Netanyahu, for some of these titans of Global Corp and the president of China, that he loses himself. He gets like a giddy little schoolgirl. He just wants to be these guys so bad. The princes of Saudi Arabia, he just that's what he wants to be so bad. And his admiration obviously would cloud his judgment a little bit. And I should say that, you know, if Russia had an interest in somebody winning the election, I mean, and maybe, you know, getting sanctions relieved, the Treasury sanction of the Minsky Act would be one that they definitely were trying to get removed so Putin could keep his ill-gotten gains that he's skimming off of, the nation's resources there. More so, and same with WikiLeaks, whoever they are controlled by, more so they just wanted chaos. And I've seen that almost admitted, and that makes sense to me.
Right.
And they certainly got chaos. So if that was the prime directive in trying to put Trump in over Clinton, then they succeeded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got everybody hating everybody. Although Trump's a big part of that because he instigates a lot of it. But when you look at him, I mean, did you honestly believe that he would run into that school even if he wasn't armed?
You know, what's funny about that is there is an incident that happened in the 80s that was reported in the New York Post. And supposedly Trump was driving by in his stretched black limo. And he saw a guy getting beaten up with a bat, and he jumped out and he said, "Hey, knock that off. Quit hitting the guy with the bat." And the guy looked at him and he went, "Mr. Trump?" and freaked out and ran away. Okay, so there actually is precedent. He might be crazy enough to do that. And if he goes in and there's a shooter and the shooter sees it, go, "Trump?" I mean, it might shock him enough to do something. But no, he wouldn't, obviously. And my whole thing is, we don't know, even he said that, we don't know what we're going to do, but I think I would go in even unarmed, and so would all of you. I think he's talking to the governors. But I'd love to give him that chance, Maria.
I wish he was the first one in. That's my thought, be the first one in. I mean, the guy was afraid of an American Eagle ducking. You remember when the Secret Service had to pull him off the stage in the campaign, how fast he ducked, quicker than George W. ducked that shoe. Listen, everything he says is a lie. Everything he's ever done has been crooked. I mean, anybody that grew up in New York at the same time he did, yeah, which I did, we all knew what a scumbag he was, what a con man he was, a wannabe gangster, slumlord racist. I mean, everybody that grew up at the same time in New York knew what he was. And then, you know, I keep trying to remind people, you know, remember he had 5 bankruptcies. No bank in the United States would give him another loan. So he had to go to Russia. His sons have bragged about it. You know, those Dutch documentaries on Trump are worth $1 million each. And yet so many people refuse to watch them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but for years, the banks did bail him out here and lost their butts doing so. One of those people was Wilbur Ross, who is now the Secretary of Commerce and was a bigwig in the Rothschild Bank. So, I mean, you tell me, if Trump's fighting the deep state and he's, you know, such a renegade and the New World Order and the globalists are so afraid of him, why is he putting Wilbur Ross in charge of our economy, basically, and Steve Mnuchin, that fiend from Goldman Sachs, and Gary Cohn, all the Goldman Sachs guys, and, you know, I mean, so that's just basic math. And I know people get mad at me. And for me to point out that Trump is appointing Rothschild bankers to these key positions clearly means I'm a communist snowflake.
Right, right. Well, anybody that tells the truth today is going to be demonized. There's no doubt, no doubt in my mind. So, Jack, let me ask you this. What are you doing with your work? How are you putting it out there now? Are you still doing a show?
Yeah, I do a Friday show, 2 to 4 Pacific, on American Freedom Radio and affiliates. We're picked up on pirate stations around the country. We're adding some more of those as we go. I can't tell people where they are because I don't want to get them in trouble. I think we're doing better work than ever. I do a monthly newsletter. If people want that, they can write me at jackblood@hotmail.com. Could that be more easy to remember? What is this Hotmail you speak of? Huh. It's jackblood@hotmail.com. And then we're hoping real soon here to join the Facebook Live video YouTube generation and crank out some, you know, 5-10 minute opinion pieces doing that as well, even though I do have a face for radio. I'll adjust the lighting so it's not too scary for people.
I use that line a lot. I have a face for radio. I use that a lot, yeah. Especially so I don't have to worry about combing my hair or getting dressed. So how can people support your work, Jack?
Well, look, here's the thing. I don't really, basically what I want to do now is call all angels, okay? And I know you have a lot of angels and maybe a few devils listening to your show, mostly angels, and they've always been really supportive of our work in the past, Maria. So this is a red alert for us right now. We have really took it on the chin with this wonderful economy that Trump keeps bragging about. The inflation, the higher cost of living has just really snuck up on us in a quick way and in a deadly way. And we are deficient in just about every category financially, even though we're making more money than we made last year. It's just so much more expensive to live. So we ended up getting behind on a bunch of things. And at this point, you know, doing the show at all, being online at all, or even having a studio to do the show in, let alone a place to live, are all things that are in jeopardy. And we just need a little help right now to get over this hump. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we have to, I don't have access to huge streams of money. And if I did, they would want me to change what I'm saying and doing, which is the offers I had in the past and turned down. And still to this day can look myself in the mirror because I did that. And you see where my colleagues have all gone. That's where I would have ended up in the alt-right crazy town movement. Worshiping the state as we speak. And that's what a lot of money does. And right. It can totally change the narrative. And so we did not do that. And the show is growing. Our reach is getting back up to where it was. And I hate to have to pull the plug now. So quite simply, we're trying to raise a measly $1,000 to keep ourselves going. And if that's 20 people can shoot us $50 as a donation, as a share of karma, then that would be great. If it's one person, if it's 1,000 people sending $1, I mean, whatever it takes, if everybody could just stop what they're doing and, you know, kind of pay it forward and pay it forward into my direction, I can promise you that we will pay it forward from there. We're not here trying to, buy cars and houses and fancy new clothes and go out to dinner. We are merely trying to hang on by our fingernails. We've got a bunch of things going. So if we could just get over this hump this week, right now, I think we're going to be okay, Maria, but, there's going to be some major adjustments. So, jackblood@hotmail.com is how you donate to us. And anything that anyone can do, $5, $100, whatever it is, we can get to that $1,000 goal here this weekend, you'll have saved us.
Well, then everybody needs to do that. So is jackblood@hotmail.com your PayPal account number?
That's what you do, is you just simply put in the email to whatever electronic pay device you use. Just put in my email and it'll send it to me. It'll take care of everything. If you don't want to do that or can't do that, write me and we'll give you the snail mail or however it has to be done. But we're on a pretty tight time level here, and we pulled about every rabbit out of the hat, but we're still a few rabbits short here. So totally appreciate and need support from your angels. And like I said, we'll shine that back out. But very simple. Just put in our email address, jackblood@hotmail.com, into any PayPal or whatever it is, and they just take care of it all.
Great. Well, listen, I keep telling people, real truth-telling doesn't pay. And I mean, I agree with you. All my expenses have gone up. My income certainly hasn't. But I do count on, you know, the few good people out there. And listen, all you guys out there, you probably say, you know, I wish I could do more, but you're stuck, you know, working a job, two jobs, three jobs. Support us. Support the people that are doing the work for you, because that helps. It all helps. And nobody's more deserving than Jack, okay? So please, whatever you guys can do, get it done. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts with myself and Jack Blood. Jack not only was the producer that first put me on the air on terrestrial radio, he fought for me, he defended my show, and has been my friend and co-host for, God, 20 years now, Jack. And you know you always have my loyalty, that's without question. But, you know, let's talk about this recovery, because I haven't seen too much in this recovery that benefited me.
You know, if people are so easy to fool, and this is why having a subpar con man who just never gives up conning people as the president is pretty effective. But you give somebody $1,000 tax credit, which they have to jump through multiple hoops to get, and they're so happy. But what they don't realize is that the printing of money is still happening at a record clip. That's demonstrated by the fact that they had record tax collection last year, Maria, under the Trump administration, and they had record deficit spending. They're printing over $60 billion a month, and I use the word printing. It could be ones and zeros in a computer, electronic, sending it interest-free pretty much to the discount windows, to the usual suspects at the investment banks, at J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, et cetera, get to use the money to further build their monopolies. And so, I mean, I hope I'm not telling people anything they don't know, but, you know, the entire economy is based on a completely fake construct of this printing of money and giving it to the rich. So to give you an example of how we've all benefited, the taxes go up in my city on a regular basis. Every 6 months, my rent goes up. Food, if you look at the food index, it costs 30% more for your food than it did last year. I mean, these energy, you know, it just never ends, the money that goes out. But you give somebody $1,000 and say, hey, aren't you lucky to have that? And they think it's something. Meanwhile, Amazon, I live in Amazon City here in Seattle, Washington. They pretty much own most of the town, but they don't own Boeing or somebody, or Microsoft does. And it just came out like 2 days ago. They didn't pay any taxes last year. None. And that their entire business model is based on not paying taxes, which shouldn't surprise anyone. And on top of it, they've gotten billions back. They'll be getting billions back on the zero tax they paid, thanks to the new GOP tax bill. And we've also seen that these CEOs are paying themselves. They're not, the money isn't trickling down. They're pocketing the money and making more money than ever before. So how some poor white Trump supporter thinks that this is beneficial to them only means that they're smoking something, because it's not true.
It has to be crack, because if you smoke and pot, it actually makes you think and become a critical thinker, which is probably why it's still illegal.
There's some bad drugs out there, Maria. Bad.
I know.
To make you think that this is going to benefit you. And So,
and first of all, what's $1,000?
It doesn't help us with any of the real debates. All they do is go, it's just for the rich, it's just for the rich, and they stomp their feet and start crying, but they don't explain why, because the Democrats are probably worse at regressive taxes and regressive economic policies than the Republicans even. I mean, it's just, there's no escape. Obama killed us for 8 years, gave every possible gift he could to Wall Street. Our Congress people are still using their knowledge for insider trading, which he helped with the Stock Act. So, I mean, that guy just completely screwed us. And Trump is on a record path to do it even worse.
Exactly. Trump just took all of Goldman Sachs and put him in office right in our face out in the open. So,
and we were told that Clinton was the Goldman Sachs candidate. But you see, it doesn't matter who wins an election. Henry Kissinger and Goldman Sachs always get in.
Well, it's obvious for sure with this administration. But at the same time, you know, we got all these wars going. We're increasing the war in Syria. You know, now he's got presidential powers, which says he doesn't need Congress's approval to expand or lengthen the time we're in Syria, which, of course, is going to create a problem with Russia, which has been in place since Bill Clinton was in office. And, you know, where's the protest on that? You know, 18 years in Afghanistan, 18 years in Iraq. You know, this is breaking the bank. It's been breaking the bank for us for, you know, two decades. You there, Jack? Hello?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I heard a little bubbly sound.
Okay. Sorry there.
That's okay.
No, I mean, but that should be obvious to people. People are so war-weary that they don't even pay attention anymore. And once the Democrats got all in on the war, and they, you know, if that could go back a long way, because remember World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were all pretty much fought by Democrats. And it was Ike, a Republican, that warned us about the military-industrial complex. But that is a giant Pac-Man that can't be stopped by simply ignoring it. And so if we're going to spend $1 trillion on the books and $1 trillion off the books, remember now there's new missing trillions at the Pentagon.
Right.
You know, then you know, why are we paying more taxes again? I just want to know, like, where is the money going to interest on the payments? The $20 trillion we supposedly owe, and much more in unfunded mandates, that only a small fraction of that is owned by China, who actually owns less of our debt than Japan at around $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. Who owns, people ask themselves this, who owns the other 17 or 18 trillion in debt? And that's the same people we're giving free money to by the billions every single month. Look at the mergers that have been happening, these massive mergers. Global Corp is consolidating. They are thriving while the rest of us are starving.
Well, but that's been their goal all along. You know, years and years ago, when I used to interview Robert Galen Ross, he always talked about their plan to destroy America from the inside out. And I'd say they're pretty close. I'd say maybe 80%.
Well, and using Trump is the perfect program to do that, because we have no other direction to go to. And I know how the mainstream media will be shifting this. We'll get a real vampire in after this, who's just smiles, is articulate, and doesn't tweet at 4 a.m, and people will be so happy. So everything, it's the dialectic of, you know, if Trump is now the thesis, then the antithesis to that will be a complete corporate whore who just knows how to smile and wear a suit and not be a complete scumbag.
Well, you could see it. People are willing to accept anybody, movie stars, Oprah, anybody but Trump. So, you know, the powers that be, is, I think, have played their Trump card pretty well.
Yeah. No, and it's worked, and free speech has been affected. It's just on every single level. I thought the most dynamic shift was all of the anti-government militia type people, all of these, you know, people running around America, the people that everyone are afraid of with their guns and whatnot, they are now worshiping the state. So I don't know what happens when Trump either gets kicked out, killed, or loses the election. and where these people go. I do know that they are being monitored in a way that that makes what happened in the 90s look like child's play. But it amazes me that you have people like, what's his name, Oprah Kardashian Jones. I saw you did a little post on him today, leading these people to worship the state, to practice for a civil war if something does happen to Trump. So we have to keep a very close eye on this. And then as far as distractions, you know, I don't think there's anyone in my circle that doesn't see an attack on North Korea and Iran coming very soon. And the fallout, literal fallout from that could be disastrous. Even Trump is saying, look, if we're going to sanction these guys and if it doesn't work, which we know it won't because sanctions never work, that the world is going to be very upset at what we do. It's going to,
He said it would have worldwide consequence.
Yeah, and Henry Kissinger 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago talking about how a first nuclear strike on North Korea was very tempting. So all signs point to an attack on North Korea and an attack as their little color revolution didn't work here last month in Iran, an attack on Iran. And Netanyahu, as we know, is under massive investigation for corruption and fraud, as is his wife, and a little wag the dog would help him in that case as well. So I'm not fearful, but I'm really anxious. And I think after the Olympics, we might see this go down, and it might just be one morning we wake up and there's mushroom clouds.
Well, you know, I had reported months ago that they were waiting until March to hit North Korea. I'm pretty sure I got that story off WSWS.org, which they seem to always make sense to me. But, you know, yesterday on the show, you know, I was talking with Jim Fetzer, and he said it's either going to be North Korea. There's three ways this could go: North Korea, Iran, or the Ukraine. So, you know, listen, you warn people, but they just don't want to hear it. And now they're trying to convince us that a little radioactivity or fallout would be okay. Somehow we can survive that.
Well, okay, there's nuclear tests. There's been thousands of them. And it's probably not good for us. We have so much radiation now just coming from our damn cell phones and whatnot that, it almost could be negligible. The real problem is that it starts a wider war because China is invested there and they don't want to see a unified Korea. They don't want more Oceania power there in the South China Sea. They're not playing around. We have new space weapons. Russia just tested a laser that can take out satellites. I mean, this isn't your dad's world war. This could be catastrophic. Could get out of hand really fast. And if the game is up, let me ask you this: if the game is up, if the Ponzi scheme has been discovered, what a better distraction than to have something like a neo-world war. It will be a little different than what we're used to. We'll probably be watching a lot of it on the news. And remember that, you know, FDR would have never gotten his New Deal through and all of that without world war. He would have never accomplished the things he did without world war, which is why he subverted and led us into World War II and allowed us to be attacked in Pearl Harbor. I know that's a strong statement and people aren't going to like it, but look at the facts. And here's Trump with his New Deal. Trump has more than $1 trillion New Deal to boondoggle to reward his cronies even more, and they got to push that thing through and they got to pay for it. So there's a lot of the little pipers that are coming to play, and there's a lot of accounting that has to be done. But without these attacks, I don't think they'll survive it. So I was always very careful and always really skeptical on an attack on Iran, but I've never seen it more clear than I see today. And they're basically just telling us what they're going to do while
right.
If we listen.
Well, I'm sure you know that was, what was it, about 2 months ago when Trump said that, you know, if we had an event like 9/11, then he would have no problems in the midterms.
Right.
So, you know, people still want to ignore this until, of course, it's happening. Then everybody's going to be freaked out like we didn't try to warn them. And everybody, oh, if you vote for Hillary, you're going to war. They still don't get that war is our number one export.
They're telling us what they're doing. If Obama had said that, what the point you just made about Trump musing privately about wanting a terror attack and how that would help the election and guarantee that the Republicans stay in power. If Obama had said that, or Clinton had said that, or any of the people that are, I'm told, are, you know, evil, these very same people would just be losing their minds.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
So,
Well, look, if Obama did...
collective outrage.
If Obama did or said half the things this moron has said and done, let alone all his rape claims and all the women he's harassed and everything else, where's the investigation on him? Listen, you mentioned Al Franken before. Al Franken had a couple of pictures of grab ass, and they forced him out of office, and the same Democrats do nothing about Trump. So it's all bull.
It almost looks like they're in on it, and... You know, when I look at, like, how at the end there, Hillary stopped campaigning, kind of, and didn't go to these key states, and it reminded me of being at the conventions in 2004 and watching John Kerry throw that election to Bush. And literally just, I mean, anything he could do wrong, he would do it. And it began to just be obvious that he was throwing the election. And I know... That's a pretty wild claim, and I'm sure Hillary would be the last person to want to do this, but when she's given an option, an offer she can't refuse, that throw the election or you're dead, or whatever it's going to be, you know, maybe, just maybe, that's what happened, and it was obviously what the powers that be wanted getting Trump in. It's obvious that they wanted that now.
Wow. Then we know who to blame when the whole world blows up and goes to hell, which it already has. You know, everything has to be so politically correct. That's why I like these Parkland kids calling bullshit, you know, talking off the way they kids talk. And I forget, I think it might have been John Cornyn that one of these teenagers took on while he was bloviating about the bullshit with gun control. And the kid said, "We're going to outlive you." And that gave me hope. These kids know. These old people need to go. This is their world, and they want to create it the way they want, and I hope they stick to it. I can tell you I'm sending them positive energy every day.
They have their agents embedded in everything, too, so I don't know if it'll be that easy. And then, you know, when we're talking about the shooting in Parkland, there's so many red flags on that thing, and I'm going to tell you right now, I almost wanted it not to be a false flag, so I was really arguing in a confirmation bias against that.
Right.
But the more I learn, the more questions I have, the crazier that thing looks. Regardless, if the narrative we're being told, the official story, is even partially true, and some of it has leaked out against the wishes of those that control information, then what we know is that the laws were already in place to stop this and that they stood by and did nothing.
Right.
And what good is it to create more laws, right, and give them more money and more of our freedoms and for law-abiding people to give up more of their rights if these people aren't going to enforce the very laws we already have? I have a child in middle school. Do you know that he was called into the principal's office and searched illegally, I might add, 2 weeks ago, just after the shooting, because he was acting funny, and they said he was acting too happy, and they thought that maybe there was something wrong with him, and so they took him into the office and searched him.
Wow.
You know, my kid who wouldn't, it's like one of the best kids out there, and then when I called them on that, they used the excuse of the shooting to do so. So all of the solutions that come in place in this dialectic are never going to solve the problem, because we know the problem is much, much, much deeper than a kid with a gun. It's why kids would want to shoot other kids and what the current laws in place right now, how they're being applied in order to stop future maniacs from A, obtaining weapons, and B, from just walking into a school like that, allegedly, and shooting people.
Right. Well, you know, they want to blame this, that, the other thing. And I said, how come nobody's talking about why are these kids so angry or disturbed? And why now aren't they connecting this to inequality? Listen, these young kids know they're up against it. They got nothing to look forward to. You know, they know the environment's screwed. They know the economy's screwed. You know, they watch their parents, you know, whether they live, die, or cry because they can't pay their bills. I mean, the pressure is on, let alone, as usual, this kid was on psychotropic drugs. No surprise there. You know, you look at, I said, either this was a lie hop or a my hop, but I always remind my audience, just because it's a false flag for a political event doesn't mean people don't actually get killed.
Yeah, and that's is important, because otherwise we become really cruel and insensitive. And if there's evidence that points that way, let's look at it. We don't have to rush and rush the story and the clickbait headlines out or the YouTube videos. Let's be sensitive to what might have happened. And if there's evidence, we'll find it. I know.
It doesn't
even make sense, to be honest with you. Why not just kill people? It's so much easier. You don't have to have these loose ends of conspiracies out there. It's hard for me to believe that a kid who can barely act his way out of a wet paper bag at the school play, I think that Colbert kind of made this point, you know, are now these great actors who have deceived the whole country, and that the government or the powers that be in intelligence would want 1,000 witnesses out there. And none of that ever made sense to me. But, you know, if the evidence is there, I'm willing to go there.
Right. Well, you know, I came to an easy solution, a thought process yesterday. Because, you know, I hate to admit it, but you know I'm older than you, Jack. I remember when Vietnam was going on. Everybody watched that war at night on TV. It was in the news, okay? And then that one picture of that little girl burnt with napalm pretty much was the most powerful thing to end that war. We don't see pictures of who's getting killed in these wars that we've been in for 20 years. So they don't exist to people. If they showed us, and I know it would be terrible, but I'm sure Facebook could put their little warning on it. This video is graphic. They should show us the pictures of these kids bleeding out, dead on the floor, shot to pieces. Because if they showed it to us, people might care a little bit more, and then we wouldn't have to go through so many hoops to figure out, was it real, was it not? But as long as they sanitize the news to, you know, to their advantage, most Americans don't care.
I know we're almost out of time, but there was a church shooting in Russia last week, and they had CCTV video of it. The videos, of course, the video system went down in this school, and they never show anything. And it's not because I'm morbid and I want to see it, but you're right. That can't be manipulated, but A, you know, we want to know that something actually happened, because the government and the media has perpetually lied to us about these things in the past. So it would be nice to have a little more confirmation than they say so.
Absolutely. To me, that would be the reality check, and it would end and squash all what they consider, you know, truthers. But a lot of people did rush to judgment. I was not one of them. And I think when they rushed to judgment with some of the stuff that I saw that was very obviously fake to me, it ruins all the work truthers have done for decades.
Yeah.
And they're using this now to shut down the few real voices out there.
Well, when you see CNN and Google and MSN and YouTube and all these people promoting a video that the kids didn't die, that just is very suspicious to me. So there's just so much to talk about there. JackBlood@hotmail.com. I have a newsletter coming out. These are keepers. You don't throw these away. There's so much history and so much classic information in these newsletters, Maria, that people can keep them on file and refer back to them at another time. I have them coming out every month. In the next few days, I'll have it. Just write me. It's for.com. Please get our back here, you angels out there, because without you, we're not going to make it through this next little hump. You'll determine, voting with your dollars, value for value, you'll determine what my future might be here in just the next couple of weeks. So you'll really see the manifestations of your goodwill and your karma if you help us. Jackblood@hotmail.com. I'm at Jackblood News on Facebook, of course, and Radio Free Blood on Facebook if you want to find out how to listen to us and about the work that we do.
Well, Jack, I hope you want to come back on the show more regularly because I sure as hell miss having you on here. So anytime you want.
I love doing it. And the problem is, you know, I'm out here in the streets trying to make some money so we can, you know, put food on our family and all that. And if I can just do a little bit better, I would love to. I would love to take that once a month spot that I used to have with you because it's cathartic for me just to talk to you, whether I'm on the air or not.
That's for sure. Well, Jack, you take good care. Hugs to your wife, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Love you, Maria. Stay bold.
You too. Bye. Jack Blood, listen, help him out. You know, he's a proud man. He's trying to support his family and do the right thing. And they're going to quash us all one at a time. And I do appreciate every one of you that support my work. And if I wanted to sell out with some of the offers I've had in the past, I'd be on Easy Street and I could make my show free. But that didn't seem to turn out that way. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with all the news you need to know. And I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.